Any questions or questions that you would like Dr. Ledeen to answer, please stand up, raise your hand, speak clearly, and we will point at you, and one by one you can ask your questions, okay? Time is limited, so please keep your questions short, okay? Yes, ma'am. Dr. Ledeen.
Big article, you haven't read it. The Newsweek of this week has actually gotten this article that gives us a great deal of information about, just like you said, how the Islamic Republic is planning to have a grand plan inside of Iraq. What is to say that they're not going to do the same thing they did in Lebanon in 1983? And how's the United States going to stop that? And then my second question is, what is the United States going to do, in your opinion, to reinstate the item of human rights violations in Iran and put it back on the agenda of the Human Rights Committee?
Well, to tell you, I haven't read Newsweek, although I have great respect for Newsweek. I think that Newsweek has done really very good work, particularly on terrorism, where they're unbeatable. The question of Iran on the human rights agenda is we're trying now. I mean, Jean Kirkpatrick is the American delegate to the UN Human Rights Commission in Geneva right now, and she has been trying to get Iran on the agenda. So we will continue to try to do that. As to the question of will they try to repeat the Lebanon strategy of the 1980s in Iraq today, the answer is yes, absolutely. That's what they will try to do. And Bashar Assad said so 2 weeks ago, gave an interview in which he said the model is Lebanon. So that's precisely what they will try to do. How will we defeat them? We will try to get them before they get us. And we're not, right now, we are much more committed to solving the regional problem than we were in 1983. And we should have done it in 1983, right? We've had many chances to do it. We could have done it in 1983. We never should have stopped in 1991 when we had the road to Baghdad wide open. Could have done it right then and there, should have done it right then and there. There are many occasions when we should have done it. We should have responded after the first bombing of the World Trade Center, right? And we didn't do it. I mean, we made plenty of mistakes. I lived in Italy for 11 years, and I've been working in Italy for the better part of 35 years. And if you spend enough time in Italy, you come to realize that God put man on earth to make mistakes, because that's mostly what we do. So we've made a lot of mistakes. But now we're there. And they will try it. And I have every confidence that they will fail, because we have absolutely winning strategies right now. Barry, I would much rather be in my position than their position right now.
My name is Shahryar Dolatabadi. I have two-part question. One part regards the Iraq situation, and second, that my question is first, a few weeks before the Iraq war, on ABC, Nightline, there was a program regarding Project 77H that many ultra conservative put their name and signature on that paper. And the start of this program was Iraq. Then Iran, Libya, Syria, Afghanistan, Saudi, and on. Would you kindly comment about that? And second question, one vote, one person. Every individual in Iraq has right to vote. 68% are Shia. Tomorrow, after General Gordon finished his job, free election, 68% in Iraq vote, we want a regime as Iran. What would be the response of United States?
Okay, thank you very much. I understand. About this famous document, I've never seen it, so it's very hard for me to comment on it. And yet, I'm always taken to be one of the people who drafted that document and so forth. I've never read it. And in any case, I will tell you that in Washington, you can find any document you wish on any position you wish, on any issue that you wish, because there's always a group of people somewhere in Washington that believes everything about something. So what? Suppose there were a document and signed by all these infamous neoconservatives. Suppose it exists. It may even exist. I mean, no one has ever accused George Bush, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, George Tenet of being neoconservatives, nor did they sign this document. These are the people making the decisions, Condoleezza Rice, Stephen Hadley, you name it, you go through it. It's really time for people to stop thinking in terms of conspiracies. The United States is not governed by conspiracy. I often wish it were. If only I could become a member of the governing conspiracy. It would be great, because then you just say things. All right, do this, do that. It's much easier, instead of having to debate every issue every day and fighting your way through all the mess that constitutes a modern democratic society. It just doesn't work that way. So forget that. I mean, that has nothing to do with the way America works. As for the Shiites in Iraq, so far as I know, the number is 60%, not 68. I've never heard 68 from anybody. I think it's 60. The history of the Shiite faith, as distinct from the Sunni faith, is that it is a sacrilege for there to be religious governance of civil society before the disappeared imam returns. That is to say, there has to be separation. I mean, the tradition of the Shiite faith is that there's separation of mosque and state until messianic days, as we would call it in the West. So that, in a peculiar way, it has always seemed to me that the greatest hope for Islam becoming a modern faith and adapting itself to the requirements of modern society is Shiism. I mean, if you're going to worry about the future of Islam, I mean, Shiism is the best chance. The Sunnis are terribly involved in all of this caliphate business and all the nonsense that Osama bin Laden talks about all the time. Shiites, not. What's going on now in Iraq is a great war for the hearts and minds of the Iraqi Shiite community. The Iranians fear that if the Iraqi Shiites are left to their own devices, that instead of Qom dominating Najaf and Karbala, that it will be Najaf and Karbala that will dominate Iran. Far from being confident of dominating Iraq and far from moving in to Najaf and Karbala with the tone of, you know, dominating masters and giving orders to the Iraqi people, this is a war of desperation on their part. It's very different from the way it was. I mean, you have to put yourself in their position and think realistically about the jam that they are in. They are fighting for survival. They are not extending their domination. All these moves on their part are moves of desperation. So that's the situation they're fighting. If you listen to Rumsfeld this morning, there was a very tricky question at his press conference. Somebody said, what kind of government will the United States tolerate in Iraq? And Rumsfeld said, we want a democratic government in Iraq. And then the questioner said, well, what about the kind of government that Iran has? Would the United States find that satisfactory? And Rumsfeld said, I certainly would not call the government of Iran democratic. Well, that's the answer to your question. So you don't have to ask these questions.
If you have questions, please come over here to the microphone. Thank you. Dr. Razoyan Befer.
Thank you, sir, for your instructive and lecture. I enjoyed very much. You mentioned, fortunately, you are educated and good writer. Napoleon said the pen is more effective and cutting than the sword.
Yeah, along that, he said it, but he didn't believe it.
Yeah. All right. That today is George's father did not succeed because the writer, they did not support him. George's father for the second election, you know that detail. However, I want to bring you to the history of the world. All nations, when they are in trouble, they need some help from outside. United States, your grandfather, they got their freedom by some help from France. France got their democracy in Second World War by getting help from United States. Jewish, they got their help from Cyrus the Great. Cyrus the Great, 2,339 years ago, released the Jewish from Babylonian prison. If he didn't do, if he wouldn't let them to make their temple. And so, there would not be any Jewish. Today, please, in your writer, reflect all Iranian requests from Jewish community that they have big influence in administration, that they owe to Iranians and also to America that their fault of administration at Carter's time brought this tragedy for Iranians. For these two reasons, we deserve to have some help. Inside of the country, they need help. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I have nothing to say. It's just you have 80% of the country. Why are you asking for help? What do you want? If the American revolutionaries constituted maybe 20% of the population, they needed help. Right? The Jews are always the tiny. No, it's my turn. The Jews have always constituted a tiny minority.
I apologize. Let's leave this for some other time because time is limited. I apologize. Mr. Sadiri, please.
My name is Jimmy Sadiri. I'm a political activist. I'm an Iranian-American. I'm proud of my Iranian heritage as well as America. I know the census in the White House is the way that you're explaining tonight that the Iranian regime at the present, the Islamic regime, must go. But are they in the same page with the State Department, also with the other functions of the United States government, that they will see in the same page that, yes, it's time for the Iranian regime, which is the Islamic regime, to go? Also, you mentioned at the time that the Russian government fell during the President Reagan, the Americans were giving grain to Russians, were giving help to Russians, technical help, and they decided that the time is now to stop it, and President Reagan was brave and said, let's bring the government to an end, and it happened. Is it time for that time? And the part of the second question that I have is this. It is not only the America. In Iran, we have a saying, if you pull a turban of a mullah, under it is written, made in England.
Yes,
thank you. Thank you. The question is, are the European countries, particularly Great Britain and France, in the same page with the United States policy to bring this regime of terror down from what is going on right now in Iran? Thank you.
Yes, well, you know, that I know that all Iranians feel that way about Great Britain. I've learned that over the years. We do not feel that way about England, you know. We rather like the English, and that feeling has been reinforced recently when England was quite happy to send English soldiers to fight and die alongside of us in Iraq. So we don't share this. Anyway, the answer to that second question, which is not the important question, the first one is the important question, is, who cares? I mean, who cares what the French or the Germans, or if you insist, the English want? I mean, it doesn't matter. The Mediterranean world always believes, it's a feature of the Mediterranean world, that the truth is never what it simply appears to be, because that's too easy. So it must be more complicated. There must always be something behind it that really explains it, and so forth. But, you know, when you have 80% of the country, then you don't need complicated explanations. You have it. So just take it. It's yours. It belongs to you. So just take it. I mean, those numbers, no government can stand against numbers like that. It's just a matter of translating the numbers into reality on the street. Now, your question about, all right, the president understands it and gets it and says the right things and so forth, but what about the State Department? And what about these other places? And this is part of my sermon about democracy. There has never been a time, and there never will be a time, in the United States of America, where all the major agencies and bureaus of the United States government agree on anything. That's not the nature of American democracy. The nature of American democracy is that people disagree all the time, and they disagree about everything. And it's a wonderful thing. It's an important thing, because if they agreed, then the president would be very badly placed in making his decisions. Because if Rumsfeld, Cheney, Tenet, Powell, and Rice all agreed, then the president would never hear the full range of opinions. What the president wants and what a president needs is to hear the whole range of opinions. And he wants to hear arguments. And one of the complaints that I hear from Bush from time to time is that I keep reading in the papers that you people disagree with each other, so why don't you argue in front of me? I don't hear enough of these arguments. I want to hear the arguments. So yes, they will disagree on everything. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But the system is they argue, they dispute, they disagree, the disagreements are brought to the president makes his decision, and that's policy. That's why I said to you, don't get all wrapped up in what does Rumsfeld want? What does Powell want? What does Tenet want? What does Rice think? The president of the United States on foreign policy is the one and only decision maker. He decides. And what he decides is policy. And that's the way it works. So, of course, there are going to be disagreements, always and forever. At least I hope so. Because the day we stop having disagreements is the day American democracy dies.
My name is Habib Momayes. I was going to preface my question by telling you that there is a great deal of paranoia in the Iranian community about the role of Great Britain vis-a-vis the Islamic regime in Iran. I think it was well demonstrated by the former gentleman and by the demonstration that you witnessed. Don't you think that this view is constantly being perpetrated by the Iranian media and perpetuated by the Iranian media? Don't you think that this view, in view of the fact that there is a great deal of cooperation between the United States and Great Britain and whatever is going to happen in the Middle East, as far as the U.S. role is concerned, there's going to be a great deal of British participation, that this view, in fact, is counterproductive for the Iranian community and it would hurt their cause instead of helping it?
Yeah, I do think it's counterproductive, but I don't think it's within my ability to change it. You know, I think that that almost every Iranian I've ever met believes this and believes that Great Britain, furthermore, is an enormous force in the world, whereas what I believe is that Great Britain only matters in the world when it allies itself with the United States. And so on these matters, I really don't worry very much. And I agree that British business, particularly British petroleum business, is involved in Iran and is involved in lots of other places with kinds of regimes that I don't approve of. All right. I mean, that's the nature of business. That's the way it happens. So But right now, when we're involved in a war against terrorism, and we ask the British to help us, and I must tell you, surprisingly, when we ask anybody in Europe to help us with information, to arrest people, to find out what's going on in various places, we're getting an amazing amount of help from countries that astonish me. And yet, it's there, and it's real. And so, I mean, right now, the world is dominated by a single country, and we are that country. And pretty much, when the United States sets its mind to something, most of the world is going to swing along behind it, or they may gnash their teeth and spit and jump up and down, but they can't stop it. So here we are. I mean, if I were an Iranian today, I would be very optimistic. And the one big thing that stands between freedom for the Iranian people and the situation today is lack of faith in their own ability to get it done. They can do it. I mean, any student of revolution will tell you that Iran is a textbook case of pre-revolutionary society. It fulfills every single condition.
Good evening, Mr. Ledeen. My name is Faramaz Mansour, and I have got a question that is in two parts. The first part is the foundation, and the second part would be my question. Freedom and democracy have been a long-lasting aspiration of the Iranian people, and all the people present here that they could actually tell you the same thing. However, as you mentioned, Iranians have made certain mistakes historically, particularly in regard to quote-unquote Islamic revolution. However, the emergence of the fundamentalist Islamic revolution in Iran would have not been possible without the help of certain friends in the West among the Cold War warriors, because from 1979, as you very well know, because you were involved with the Iran-Contra affair, in 1979, from August to October 31st of 1979, Mr. George Cape with the CIA was providing Khomeini's regime with intelligence briefing. Subsequently, Robert Clinton Ames, who was the number two man at the CIA, provided intelligence briefing to Khomeini's regime. In fact, in 1983, based on the direct order of the director of CIA, William Casey, they provided intelligence briefing to Khomeini, whereby Khomeini was able to solidify its power base as an Islamic government in Iran. Now, what is important is that that intelligence briefing was provided to one man in Iran whose name is Habibullah Askarolladi, who is the head of Islamic...
Can I stop this?
Sure.
Every single statement you have made, to my best knowledge, is false. Everything you've said is wrong.
Well, allow me to say this. I would draw your attention to the article in Washington Post on November 1986 and January 17, 1987 that directly reflects what I have said in regard to the intelligence that it was provided to Khomeini by the CIA. Now, the most important part of my question is this. The Islamic Revolution of Iran, really, during all the years of Reagan administration, committed the worst criminal act against its people. Thousands and thousands of people were murdered by this murderous regime. I challenge you to show me one direct quote from the President of the United States that condemned the massacre of the people and the political prisoners in 1988. I also would challenge you that since you have said that I made an incorrect statement, I challenge you for a debate at any time, any place within the United States. I bring the documents to show you that the statement that you made, it is inaccurate, and Iranians have made mistakes, so has the United States as far as its policy towards Iran. In fact, I quote you, John Poindexter.
Listen, can
interview.
I just stop you right now? I mean, just for starters, Gates was not the deputy director of CIA in 1983.
John Poindexter. John Fuentes
Gates,
was.
You said Gates provided a briefing to Khomeini.
No. Director of CIA was William Casey at the time.
You said the deputy director.
I apologize.
Was Robert Gates.
No.
And he wasn't.
No.
I mean,
the director of CIA was William Casey. And more importantly is John Poindexter.
No. My question is,
if you want us to liberate Iran, why don't you disclose all of the secret documents that the United States has with the secret dealing with the Islamic fundamentalists in Iran, and let the liberation to our hand, we will liberate Iran. Thank you.
Let's show a little bit of respect to our guests who have come all the way from the East Coast.
No, that's not the issue. The issue is not a matter of showing respect for me. It's a matter of getting your facts right. I mean, you've conflated entire periods of history into a couple of years. I mean, would you please be quiet for 1 minute and just let me try to educate you? I mean, I lived through this stuff. I was there, right?
You said you haven't been in Tehran.
I was in Washington.
Thank you.
That's what I meant when I said I was there. So, I mean, someone who says that Robert Gates, deputy director of CIA, provided a briefing to Khomeini at a time when he wasn't deputy director is badly confused about what happens. So that's why I'm saying you've conflated different periods of history and you've compressed different events into a single sequence, and it didn't happen that way. Please.
Mr. Liden, welcome back to the home. How do you feel to be home? I want to have this feeling. We don't come here for the pleasure or better life. We came here because we forced to. And you know, we can bring the democracy to the country by gun, by force, by weapon. Democracy is the kind of the thing you have to earn it, you have to learn it, the law, you have to teach them. What we need right now from the people of America, actually first, not the only the government, from the people of America, we don't need the government to support us as in many ways. No, we need the government to support our media, because the only people they could teach the Iranian people to what to do. We are not Arabs. We are Iranian. It's a complete different forgive my English, I mean, different kind of the mind. What we need the more support for the opposition. We need the more support for the other media in place of that they put a radio further for American people, which in Iran they do not understand anything. Why they do not support our Iranian media so they could teach better to the Iranian people and the people they stand up, as you said, because we will stand up and we are ready for the revolution and we want to this regime go, but the only thing what we need the support of the people of America and we need the government to support the other media. Thank you very much.
Yes, I agree that the governments of the United States should be supporting Iranian media so that Iranians in America can speak directly to Iranians in Iran. And I've said that and I've written it. And it is certainly right. On the other hand, the Iranian community in the United States has plenty of resources. And I find it really baffling that the Iranian community is unable to raise funding on its own. I mean, suppose the Brownback Amendment passes and $50 million is generated for media broadcasting into Iran and for various other activities. You need more than that. It's worth more than that. And so whatever the difference is between what you can get from the Brownback Amendment and what is needed has to come from Iranians. And it's only proper that Iranians do it for themselves. So do it. And, I mean, we will all do our part. I am trying very hard to convince the American government to support this. Lots of other people are also. But there's an enormous amount that you could and should be doing for yourselves.
My name is Mehdi Rouhani. I'm among those high-level military personnel or among your audience today, I have one comment and one very quick question. My comment is that no matter what, no matter somebody help us, some country help us or not, we definitely get up with government not very late. That definitely comes out from Iran, and you know better than I do. My question is, you mentioned sometime that the United States is in hesitation who to help. And again, you mentioned that Iran right now is mother of terrorism. What is from United States point of view? Is better get rid of the mother of terrorism or to help the people of Iran to get rid of their government? I definitely think from United States point of view, it's much better to get rid of those mother of terrorism other than helping the people of Iran. Thank you.
Thank you. But don't you think... the point I was trying to make is that it comes to the same thing. It's the same thing. And that by making Iran a free country, you eliminate the mother of modern terrorism. Because democratic countries don't launch terrorist attacks against other countries. Free society worries about solving its own problems instead of sending terrorists all around the world. So it's the same thing. It solves both problems simultaneously. That's what I meant when I said that President Bush has understood that the war against terrorism is a war against tyranny, and victory against terrorism means export of democratic revolution. Look, even if, I mean, suppose, not to waste time, we say that it was Carter's master plan to install the Ayatollah Khomeini and America did it, okay? Which is not true, but let's just, in order that we don't argue about these things, because I know that, you know, there's endless discussions about all of this. So what? So assume that the United States did a terrible, even an evil thing. 24 years ago. Suppose it's true. So now we have a government that wants to do a wonderful and good thing. So support it. So let's get on with that. So instead of spending on...
On behalf of everyone here and Radio Sidra Iran, we'd like to thank you. Thank you for being so kind enough to answer all our questions. Thank you.
Yes, do you have a stylist or something?